Good afternoon, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is September 3rd, 2013, and I have a very special set of guests, and I say set because I have twins with me that are known as the UFO twins, Shirlene and Erlene. Shirlene has had several ET encounters and has also authored the book From the Motherland to the Mothership. They are apparently born in Kansas and are here to discuss their experiences with being contactees and researching this sort of thing. It sounds like the two of you, Erlene and Shirlene, are very active in the disclosure support process. So anyway, with that, I want to say hello, thank you, welcome both of you for coming on to my show. How are you doing today?
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I think I'd like to start out with especially the fact that you're twins. Everybody's always mesmerized by twins because, you know, it's like, wow, do you feel what the other feels? Do you have telepathy more than most? And especially if you've already had some sort of ET contact or UFO encounters, I would imagine that's pretty fascinating. So, Shirlene, I'd love you to address that. Is there a connection between the two of you there?
I would definitely say so. My sister, sometimes she'll call me, and I'm thinking about her, and I'll say, I was just going to call you. So I think we do have that twin thing going on. And we've had those kind of things happen from time to time, like most twins. As far as the encounter is concerned, my sister, Erlene, has been quite a bit of support for my experiences because when I started having them, I'll start by at the beginning, actually, when I moved to Dallas from Kansas, I was getting a divorce and wanted to be with my sister and get to know each other again. And so I moved to Dallas in 1994, and we just started hanging out and being around each other a lot more. And I knew she had this passion for anything in the UFO field. She was just very much into that subject. And so over the years, she would send books and information or articles she would have read about it and share them with me. And I was raised in my family as well, and I didn't really take a lot of interest in it. I thought, well, that's something that UFO abductions, that's what we called it back then. I don't call it that now, but I thought UFO abductions are something that happens to someone else. That will never happen to me. It's just, you know, it was just so far from my reality with having a family, raising a family, and so forth. So after I moved here, things changed quite a bit.
I bet. And isn't it funny how, you know, that which you just never in a million years thought you'd experience ends up right inside your body. You end up being taken out of your room.
Yes, it is. Sometimes I'm still amazed by the experiences. It's just been incredible.
Well, tell us, how exactly was your first encounter? How old were you, by the way, at the time?
At the time, I was I'd say 41.
So this is later in your life. So that's pretty cool, Shirlene,
yes.
That it started
yes.
later in your life, and it kind of gave you a whole new twist on how you see things.
Oh, it certainly did. An entirely new way of looking at life. I was in my early 40s, and I moved to Dallas, and I was starting life anew. I was going through a divorce, but I wasn't like the typical divorcee. I wasn't depressed. I didn't cry a lot. I was actually happy to get I had one of those, what you call happy divorces. On my side of the fence, I was very happy. I felt free. My children were grown. They were in college. First time in my life I'd been free. And I was wanting to experience life at its fullest. So I started wanting to search for my spirituality. I felt something void and lacking in my life. So I decided to start reading several books, one of which was Louise E. Hay, You Can Heal Your Life, which was a profound book.
Yeah.
And then Conversations with God.
Yeah.
Those as a series of books. And that particular book, I think everyone should read in their lifetime. It's just powerful.
Those are classics.
I read all of them. Classics. Those are classics. You can't get out of this lifetime without reading those books. They're so powerful and so incredible. So the Conversations of God helped expand my awareness and consciousness and open my mind. And I just went down a spiritual path of attending different lectures and classes and I was enjoying this because this is some aspect of my life that had been totally neglected for all these years. Of course, my sister and I were raised in the Christian church. I think we must have went to church sometimes morning, noon, and night on Saturday, on Sundays. So we were very steeped in religion and Christian religion through the Church of Christ. So but it wasn't the same. I still felt a lack, a void. It didn't answer all the questions I had, and I sought deeper knowledge and knowing of my spirituality. And once I embarked upon that path, I was just elated. I was happy. I was just going through life, floating like on a cloud. And I was just very, very at a place in my life where I was just very happy with my new freedom and my new spiritual growth. And so one night I went to bed in, I think, December 1995. And not unlike any other night, I was just watching TV, watching some sitcoms, and went to bed, turned off TV and went to bed. And in about the middle of the night, I woke up and found myself on a spaceship.
Oh, wow.
And so it was quite amazing.
You actually fully remember the whole thing. Like, you remember all the details.
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome.
I remember most of the details. I would say probably 75-80% of the details, yes.
Wow.
I was floating through the galaxy. If you can remember the Star Trek show where you're looking at the stars and your ship is going, it's just floating along, and the stars seem like they're coming right across you, and you're pulling into them, and they're coming across.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful. The universe was alive. I felt a vibrancy. I felt, I don't know, meteorites coming right out of the ship we were in, but nothing ever hit us. It was just such freedom, and it was so much activity. I couldn't believe the amount of, with the asteroids or comets. I don't know exactly what they were, but it was just a place that was alive. Like maybe a 4th of July night, you see a lot of activity in the sky. That's the way the universe looked. It was just profound, and I was just I was awestruck. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was looking out of a ship, a circular ship that had about, I'd say, maybe a foot or two in window that circled it. And I could look out. We approached what I thought was New York City because there were huge, tall skyscrapers and buildings that were just in. It looked like, and it was, I'll never forget, it looked like I was looking at one of those etch sketch because the windows, they were maybe computerized, but as I was looking out, I could see the outline of these buildings, and it was just, everything was just phenomenal about that experience. I do detail more of it in our book, so I won't go in a whole lot of detail on that one experience, but after I returned, returned to my bed, I felt this profound tingling throughout my body and a coldness that I couldn't explain. I felt inebriated, although I knew I hadn't been drinking. I felt just disconnected and then reconnected or reassembled, and that's
wow.
Hard to explain. But that's the feeling I had. And so the first thought was, should I go to a hospital and explain that somebody may have taken me out and drugged me and taken me out and taken me into space? And I thought, no, better not call a hospital. They won't believe that story. Then I thought, I'll call my sister. She knows all about this stuff. She's read it all these years. I'll call her. And then I thought, okay, it's about 2 in the morning. I probably shouldn't wake her up because once she hears this, she'll probably not sleep the rest of the night. So I decided I'll go back to bed. I told the entities I do not wish to return tonight. I don't know why I said that. It just came out of me, and they respected my wish. I did not go back into the galaxy that night. I decided to go to bed, and I called my sister the next morning. And I can let her, if you like, she can tell you her reaction because she was very, very surprised.
Well, sure. And Erlene, way to go. Way to be there, to be the anchor, huh? To be the support,
exactly.
The support network. I mean, when something that monumental happens to you, which it has to me as well, you really need somebody there to kind of walk you through that whole process.
Exactly.
So what was your take? What did you advise her?
Well, I didn't necessarily give her advice per se. I'll never forget that Sunday morning, Alexandria. It was just like Lionel Richie sings early one Sunday morning. It's just something that what I wasn't ready for. She called and she said, "You're never going to believe what happened to me last night." So I
I was all prepared to hear about this new great guy she'd met because she had been going out and meeting people, and she was telling me about different men she had met through, you know, going out to clubs and whatnot. So that's what I was prepared for. And then when she said she had been taken aboard a ship and traversed the galaxy, and she described the ship as like a greater than or lesser than sign in mathematics, and how other ships were coming towards her ship but veering off before it hit it, and how there was a being on the ship that looked like her ex-husband. I just said, wait a minute, stop. Get over here right now and tell me every single word from the beginning.
Oh, my gosh, amazing.
So she didn't live far away, and she zoomed right over. About at that time, my husband was waking up, so I clued him in, and he listened with total fascination, and we just listened to her story about her first encounter with non-human beings in a ship somewhere in the galaxy. So I'll never forget that morning.
Well, fabulous that she had you to be there to support her. And Charlene, I'm curious, what type of beings did you have the encounter with?
Well, I knew there were beings around me. I was not able to actually see them. However, one being that I think that was reproduced was my ex-husband, because I think he was manufactured, reproduced to calm my reaction. And he was, I explained a little bit more in the book, but he was there and he wanted to take, you know, just what's going on, where are we, how do I get back to where we need to be, that type of situation. And he was quite alarmed. And the next morning, the next day or so, I called him and asked him, do you have any strange experiences a few nights ago? Did you remember anything out of the usual? And he said, no. So again, I think they're able to produce people that in our lives that can have a solid basis maybe in our lives, and a calming effect in some cases, in this case. And so that was my experience. I did not see any beings on that particular experience, but I started having these experiences 2 to 3 times a week.
Oh, wow.
And I had interacted with other races of beings throughout that throughout 3 years that I write about in the book.
Well, you know, Charlene, they do say that one of the first things that they will do to calm the contactee down is they will shapeshift into someone
yes.
that you trust.
Yes.
And
that's right.
It's probably not that your ex was there. It's more that probably somebody on board shapeshifted in order to make
yes.
you feel comfortable and safe, you know?
Yes.
So,
I truly believe that. That's
yeah.
what happened.
So 2 to 3 times a week. So, you know, did you start journaling this? I hope so.
Well, I did. After the first experience, after, I don't know, maybe the first couple of weeks, my sister started saying, well, you know, you need to write these down, because you're going to forget them. You're not going to be able to remember them. They're very important. Start keeping a notepad at your bed. And that's what I did. So every time I went on an experience, or I call a trip, when I returned, I wrote every detail about it. So that's how we were able to compile a book.
It's so,
notes for our book.
You know, I just have to mm-hmm. tell you guys right now that I have a very high-pitched sound in my right ear. And that is always an indicator that the galactics are contacting us. It's
oh,
yeah.
wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Because I'm involved with ET contact as well. I just came back from a training, and that's one of the ways that they connect with you. So I just wanted to pass that on to you.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I truly believe they're always here whenever we are doing an interview. I think they're around us more than we realize.
They are, and they're with me as well. I
yes,
communicate with them
well.
A lot.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
Well, getting back to the body, you know, you said something intriguing mm-hmm. About the way your body kind of broke down and then kind of reassembled.
Mm-hmm.
Can you,
yes.
did you end up having to go through this experience every time you returned back to your apartment or your body?
Pretty much. There were some, I always knew when I was going to be visited, that the entire energy of the apartment would shift. It would change. And they were there. And so sometimes I would be awake, and I just, you know, half awake or half asleep or fully awake, and the energy shift. So I always could tell when they were around or when it was close time for them to take me on an
excursion, so to speak. So some of its experiences, I felt like I was being broken down. My molecules were being broken down and reassembled. Sometimes I felt my spirit was lifting up out of my body, and
wow,
I could actually see my body. One time I remember actually looking down and seeing myself. And I just would float away. I just float right through the apartment, right through the living room, right through the glass doors, out into over the swimming pool, up above the trees, and I was out, up into the galaxy. Sometimes I would go with the ship. Sometimes I would it's called astral project.
Yeah.
I would just simply astral project out into the galaxy. So it differed.
You know, it's like I dream of the day when all of us are able to remember who we are and be able to experience this, because this is truly our gifts.
It is.
This is our gifts. This is our God-given, you know, sovereign
mm-hmm.
right to be able to cruise anywhere we want, have free will. I mean, it's just such an awesome feeling. So tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
How did this affect you, Earlene, as far as your, especially because you are twins, did that get you even more intrigued about this process and your research into it?
Well, not necessarily. It didn't get me more intrigued. I was totally blown away by the fact that it was my twin sister that was having these experiences, because they were similar to experiences, well, not really similar, but I had read so many stories of contactees and like the Betty and Barney Hill story,
yeah,
and Betty Andreasen affair, and just so many over the years. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. Now I know, not only do I know someone having these experiences, it's my twin sister. So my research really preceded all of her experiences, and when she would have each experience or encounter, excursion, she'll come back and tell me about them. And then a lot of times I could say, oh yeah, that was similar to such and such account, or that was similar to this. And, you know, I would try to just provide a foundation and let her know she wasn't alone, that a lot of people are having these kind of encounters, and it's just wonderful. Some people would ask me, well, were you jealous because you weren't having them? Never. There couldn't be a jealous bone in my body for my twin sister.
Good for you.
I was actually happy it was her rather than me. I don't think I was ready for it. I could read about it all day, but when it came to actually having the experiences she had, I really, truly don't think I was ready for it. And I think that's why we both had our respective roles to play. She was the experiencer. I was the researcher and supporter. I think we just fell into those roles just real naturally.
You know, Earlene, I honor you for saying that. I mean, that is beautiful. And if we absolutely, this is where we need to be. Everybody's got a very special gift to bring forth. Everybody has their piece to play. There is no room for jealousy. You know, no room for jealousy. So, you know, Sherlene, my question to you is, why do you think that they contacted you? What was it that you think they were looking for to communicate?
I think there are several factors involved. The first thing I think is that my sister and I had these roles to play, and that we agreed to do this prior to our birth, prior to this incarnation. I think this was our job, our mission, so to speak. I think I got to the place in my life where I was searching for my spirituality and searching for a deeper connection. And I was able to, as a result of all that reading and classes and number of things I was involved in, and the happiness I was feeling, just the joyfulness, and I was just ecstatic with life. I think that raised my vibration, which made it easier for them to contact me. So I think it's just a vibrational match. It's what I believe the point is where I came to, that vibrationally I was ready.
You know, you also brought up the fact that you were so happy and so relieved and so free. And that's probably, there are a couple things popped in my head. One was, that's why you wanted to be free, is your time, your code, basically.
Right.
Your digital code had kind of come up and said, hey, your mission's coming up. Get ready. Let's go.
Exactly.
So
I believe that now. I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
But yes, that makes sense.
That is so neat. So now what do you feel came about from having so many frequent visitations? I mean, 2 to 3 times a week, that's quite a bit. So what, mm-hmm. what do you feel really changed within you because of this process?
Well, when the experiences began, I decided to see a psychiatrist, to be honest with you, because this was quite unusual, and I thought, well, maybe I'll get some opinions from a professional. Found, and I went to the Yellow Pages to look for a doctor, made an appointment, went in, paid, I think, $45 for an hour to visit with him. He was unable to even come close to helping me. He had never talked to anyone that had these type of experiences. He didn't know what to say. He asked me the standard questions, have you been on drugs? No, I haven't.
Oh,
Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Were you abused as a child? No, I wasn't. You know, just the standard questions. And he was trying to peg me into one of these little holes that he just couldn't find a place to fit me in. And it was so funny because the entire session turned around to me opening his mind and helping him expand and opening his consciousness and his awareness. And it was like an educational process. We switched roles. He started just becoming he was very much the student, and it was funny because I went in to see if he could assist me, and then I turned around and started teaching him. So I found out after that experience, no one can help you on this kind of thing. This is something that's very unique and personal. I shouldn't say no one can help you. Certainly not some professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists, they're not trained to help you. So I think if you do need help or need to seek help, you would be probably better off talking to someone who's been through it.
Someone who specializes in UFOs.
Yeah, in that. Exactly.
Right.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Charlene, I can relate to this so much. I was in a very severe car accident in 2001, and I was in bed for almost 3 years. Mm. And through that process, I averaged about 7 doctor's visits a week. And I remember I would go to these doctor's visits because, you know, I was definitely on a very rapid spiritual growth point at that stage. And I just remember turning it into something where, well, what can I give these people? How can I get them to start seeing patients in a different way? What little pearls of wisdom can I drop, you know, on their lap before I walk out the door? And it's so important because really, isn't that true that we're all teachers and we're all students, no matter what we do, you know? So, but anyway, so what do you feel, you know, I should ask Earlene this. Earlene, what do you feel you saw as a change in your sister? I mean, did you notice her to really be, you know, did she shift in the way that she communicated and the way she saw things? You know, was that kind of an eye-opener for you?
Well, yes. I saw a huge change in the person I knew that lived in Kansas City and the person that came to Dallas and started having these experiences. I saw Charlene grow in wisdom and knowledge and awareness. I saw her attempting to learn more about expanding her consciousness and lifting her vibration. And I just saw her become so much more wise. And she started reading a lot of books and listening to information by Abraham, with Esther and Abraham, and conversations with God. And I just saw her grow and develop spiritually, very much so. And something told me to tell her, start meditating. I don't know why, but I told her, start meditating. And then she started getting all these answers. She can sit still for a few moments, and her higher guides can start talking through her, and she can just write all this information out as she has, and she has the ability to communicate with those that that have gone through the transition that we normally call death. There's no such thing as death, but she's been able to allow them to communicate through her back to us and other members of our family. And so I'm in awe of all of these things she can do, and the channeled information she's received has just been quite profound. And I've just watched her grow and develop, and I'm just so proud of her.
from where she came, because when I would talk to her about these things in Kansas City, she had no frame of reference for what I was talking about, and you know, I was kind of the butt of her and her husband's jokes. He would say, "Well, what's Arlene talking about now?" That's what her husband would say to her. She's off the deep end. What's she talking about now? But you know, things, and Shirley never laughed at me. But you know, but I saw her grow, and I saw her develop as she's always been a beautiful person, both inside and out. But I just saw a lot of growth on her part, and then she turned the tables and started teaching me. And so, you know, so I think we've really helped each other in that respect.
Well, that's, you know what, you guys are awesome. I mean, you're so supportive.
Well, thank
you're
you.
So supportive of one another. No, seriously, it's just refreshing. I'm enjoying talking to you both. But question, what do you consider yourself to be? Have you found out your roots with the Galactics? Are you Pleiadian? Are you Sirian? I mean, have you found out that information?
I have not. I've interacted with the Pleiades. Actually, they visited me one Sunday morning, and it was a very, very short visit. But I, you know, what's really interesting is, and I don't know why, because I've been asked this question a lot, when I have these experiences, what do you ask them? Are you asking this? Are you asking that? And I cannot say that I do ask a lot of questions, I'll be honest with you, because when I'm in that realm, I'm usually in awe of what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing. Sometimes I've engaged in conversation, but I don't always ask the questions that some people may think, well, why didn't you ask this or why didn't you ask that? And I'm like, I didn't think about that. A lot of the questions to me were not necessary. It just felt like I had the knowing and of that, especially personal things. So I didn't ask a lot of questions about myself. I remember once being taken to Mars, and I talked about this rock that had appeared on Earth that scientists believe was discovered on Earth, and it came from Mars hundreds of thousands of years ago, and because of the organisms on the rock, they felt like this indicated that life existed on Mars. So I engaged in a conversation like that, for example, with the entities, and they said, yes, we are well aware of your findings, and basically, this particular group was not very conversational. They would ask or answer anything you ask, but they would cut it short. Yes, we are well aware of your findings. And it wasn't a whole lot of conversation that particular experience I explained in detail on Mars. I visited with another group there that I call the Nurses of Mars. And I recognized them. I'm like, oh my God, the Nurses of Mars. So I knew that I knew them in another time and place. So there wasn't really questions about who you are, who am I. There was more like a reunion with this particular group of entities that I call the Nurses of Mars. I call them nurses because that's how they appear to look, but I know that's not how they normally look. But that's how they appear to look and act. So I didn't ask them a lot of personal information like where am I from or anything like that. I just I was working with the situation at hand pretty much.
Well, you know, they say that I have a ton of friends that are contactees, and they say a lot of times when you arrive on the ship, you're being, number one, downloaded, and number two, everything's telepathic. So,
right.
And there's a period of adjustment or orientation even after a period of time. You know, you're being pulled out of your physical body and
yes.
You know, going through that situation. So did you find any of this an adjustment on your physical body?
Yes. When you travel across the ocean and you get fatigued, and I found myself very exhausted the next morning when I would have to go to work. Sometimes I felt myself just needing to sleep a little longer because I knew how active I was during the night. That's really the only physical effect I had. I had no other negative effects. I had nothing that I could recall that was really overly negative. I was just tired. Jet lag. That's the word I'm looking for. I felt jet lag.
Right, right. Well, so you mentioned in your bio that, you know, you feel very strongly about the disclosure process and that you feel that you're,
yes.
you both are, you know, a major proponent for that, and that this is possibly a piece of why this has happened to you, is for you to come forward and to be
yes.
vocal and that kind of thing. So how involved have you been with the disclosure process?
Arlene, you want to answer that?
Well, we were very supportive of Stephen Bassett, who, as you probably know, just recently did the citizens' hearing on disclosure, and it was a huge success. As a matter of fact, we are in contact with Dr. Bassett. I don't know if he's a doctor. I'm thinking of Dr. Stephen Greer, but we're in contact with Mr. Bassett, and we just proposed a march on Washington, which we were going to call the world, how did we word it, Shereen? The World March on Washington for UFO Disclosure. And but he's working on a UN conference right now, and so we still would like to pull that off. Be a huge endeavor, but Shereen was really inspired to do that, and she said the inspiration was watching the 50th anniversary of the Martin Luther King March back in 1963, and we would call ours the New Dream World March on Washington for UFO Disclosure. So that's something that may come about. We're certainly, of course, you know, these kind of things take huge amounts of funding. So if there's anybody in your listening audience that would like to help us fund something of this nature, we certainly would be interested in doing that. And another thing we want to do in the future is take a film crew to Africa, because through my research, I learned that there are many African tribes that had oral traditions passed through generations in which they had encounters with extraterrestrials. They didn't call them that, but that's the terminology that we're most familiar with in the United States. So we would like to go and talk to some of these elders. We have learned, as a matter of fact, that they know that their ancestors came from the planet Mars. This has been passed to them and passed, as I mentioned, of down generation after generation. And they still have altars dedicated to their ancestors from the planet Mars. And in our Western society, we don't know this, because our religion gave us an origin of man as far as Christianity was concerned, and so did Islam. And most of the major religions of the world have their own origin of man. But we found that certain pockets of Africa have oral traditions that precede the Bible by 5,000 years, and it does include interactions with non-human beings. So that would be some of our future work that we would like to go document and bring back to America to show some indigenous cultures' interactions with non-human beings. I don't know how far that would go towards helping with disclosure, but whenever you can gather evidence, because one thing we feel very strongly about, Alexandria, is it's time to move past trying to prove if they're here.
Exactly.
We need to now accept that as a fact, because there's just too much irrefutable information and evidence that they are indeed here. So now let's find out why are they here? How can they help us as a society to eradicate disease, remove the pollution from the planet, including the oceans and the air, and help us grow and evolve to the next level in which we're trying to evolve to? And we believe that they are here. And we know our government knows they're here. And so it is just a matter of leading our government. And that's one thing. Another thing we have to also understand as a society, we as a people lead our government. It's not the other way around. The government doesn't lead us. So when we accept it and we make that announcement and we make that declaration and we affirm it, the government will have to follow suit. And we feel one good way would be to do this would be in a march, just lining up, you know, the speakers and getting the venue and just pulling it all together, which would be a huge endeavor, but not impossible. But that's something, you know, we're throwing around.
Well, you know, Africa, as you know, I mean, it's one of the main reasons that they have so severely targeted Africa with all the horrific diseases and the warfare and the internal civil war and that kind of thing. And that is because mm-hmm. Africa is a gigantic wonderland of relics and artifacts from the star families. There is
yes.
so much evidence there. It's like mind-blowing. I just came back from a seminar with Michael Tellinger, and he was showing some of the things that he's found. It's just so rich in history, and
indeed.
Unfortunately,
yes.
the establishment that was, I like to say,
right.
you know, basically they didn't want that information coming out because Africa is so rich in it. The other thing I was going to mention is I feel that the disclosure process was absolutely phenomenal in the amount of information that came out. And I know that a great deal of work and expense went into it. A lot of people, you know, it kind of got slammed. You know, people were like, well, was it really successful? We really didn't get the response from the government that we did, that we should have. But actually we
uh-huh.
did. There are quite a few like Hellyer that come out and they're very, very outspoken about the presence of UFOs. And since that time, look at all the leaking of documents supporting it.
Yes.
And so that the you know everything's in divine timing, and
yes.
The Galactics as well as you know Prime Creator supported this whole process because it couldn't have happened at a better time. It just couldn't have happened
right.
better. So I mean
yes.
I commend you. I mean I think that no matter what we are all doing, as long as we bring some sort of evidence for the masses, we really are. It's the people on this call and the people listening to this information that we are the ones leading the path. We are the ones
Absolutely.
That are blazing the trail. And
yes.
we are the ones that are going to determine how quickly we get this job done.
Right.
So I commend you both if you're going down that way, because I think there's so much information the United States needs to know about.
Absolutely.
Very,
and it's exciting
yeah.
to be a part of it.
Yes.
Because we are seeing it unfold day by day, little by little. We are seeing disclosure unfold. And it's exciting times. We all agreed to be here at this place and in this time for this event. And we believe it's inevitable. It has to come about and is coming about.
Well, and it's time. God, I so agree with you. It's not about do we have to prove whether they exist or not. My gosh, I mean, I think the last statistic that they took, something like 78% of the entire world
right.
population believes in
mm-hmm.
UFOs. So it's not
That's
a question,
right.
you know, and if you don't, then you're just not reading anything. You're not
right.
you're not looking at anything. You're not even looking up at the stars. I mean, if you grab a pair of night vision goggles, you will find a UFO.
That's yes. right.
You know, period. I don't
exactly.
care who you are. I don't care if you have special gifts or psychic
right.
abilities or whatever. You're going
right.
to see that they exist.
Yes.
So it's
As a
really...
matter of fact, the night vision goggles, excuse me for cutting you off, actually came from back engineering UFOs, along
yes.
with a lot of our technology that we enjoy today.
Very true.
And what happened is they give it to the government first to use in military, and then it's finally given to companies like General Motors to put in our automobiles and so forth. But many people don't realize how much of the technology that we enjoy today actually came from back engineering these crashed UFOs.
Well, and what I think we also need to convert to the masses also is the fact that this is why they aren't physically manifesting here. Number one, because we're not ready. Because they're
right.
so vibrationally high. People don't get the fact. They can't just like cruise off of a spaceship and not impact our bodies substantially. So that's number one. And number two, it's really important for us to remember they're a little bit on the shy side coming to a place like this where all we've done is shoot them down. And mistreat the
right.
ones that we have caught, and do horrific things to the ETs
yes.
that have been captured. So
right,
you know, I read in since you mentioned that I read in Conversations, and this is Shirley. I read in Conversations with God. I think it was Book 3 discusses evolved beings throughout the galaxy. And they view us as rather primitive because we have not learned how to solve our issues without and our disputes without violence. So you're right. They have a concern about us
as you would children with matches. You have to be careful with them because you're not sure what they're going to do, and you have to watch them. And so I think we are viewed as very primitive in our evolution, and it's not that we have to stay there, but and a lot of us are not there. I wouldn't say that would be true of everyone, but I think primarily our governments are viewed that as very primitive race overall, because we just have so much violence going on, and I know we can do better. I know we can stop the violence. We don't have to continue this war for profit mentality.
You know, I think that one of the most fascinating things for me is just the thought that there are millions, if not billions, of beings watching us every day and watching us unfold, because they're so fascinated by the story of the Earth and the fact that, you know, we've been completely dominated by the dark. We've been completely dominated by the Orion Matrix. And that is completely crumbling in front of our eyes if we just choose to follow those dots. I mean, that's kind of where my blog comes in, as I'm always trying to connect the dots to show where the Matrix is finally crumbling. And it's happening, man. I mean, we are really in exciting times because the light is penetrating the planet significantly. There are more and more people going out and doing their thing. And there's more and more people that are fired up like you to get the word out that, you know, hey, we are not alone. It's ridiculous for us to think we're alone. So
absolutely. And we have a responsibility, in my opinion, to ourselves and our children, our grandchildren, our future generations, to change this picture, and we can do it.
Yes, yes. So my question to you, Charlene, is how are we going to change people's perspectives of the Galactics? What's your best case scenario?
My one thing is I would like to see movies such as Men in Black stop being produced, because they show the violent side of extraterrestrials, what we call extraterrestrials. I now call Galactics, but they show the violence, and there's always a war with them. And I think we've done a lot. Those type of movies, Hollywood needs to change the producing, the writing, the whole thing around making movies about ETs, so people won't be in fear.
Yeah.
A lot of people are afraid because of what they've seen on TV or what they've seen in the movies. So I think that would be very important to change, help change that mindset, and to discuss, as we're doing now, and make websites, videos. Arlene and I wrote a song, actually, as a result of the experience I had with the Galactics one night. And so we just do all that we can to let people know that they're benevolent beings that want to help us. They've been where we are. They have evolved gone through what we're going through and evolved beyond that. So they are here to assist us and help us. They're loving. They care more about us than we have any idea. They're family. They want to reconnect with us. They want to celebrate the day we get to connect. Imagine having long-lost family and you know you have them and you can't reach them. You can't communicate, can't talk to them because they're afraid of you. So if we could drop the fear factor, when I'm asked, how do you interact with these beings, how do you allow them to take you out in the galaxy and so forth, the first thing I say is drop the fear factor.
Right.
There's nothing to be afraid of. Just recognize that you are going to be okay, and know that you're going to be okay. And you attract through your vibration these entities that are going to be benevolent. And so I think it's very important to keep spreading the word that they're loving, they're kind, they want to help us. That's their mission. They have a mission. They have a goal. They have things to do, too, so that they can further evolve through higher levels of existence. And one of those are to help mankind.
Yeah.
So there's so many around us, and it's so exciting when you think about all this help around us. We're not alone. As you said, we're not alone. We can have help at an instant if we just knew it.
Yeah. And accept the fact that...
And accept it.
Accept it. Just accept the fact that, first of all, they're walking amongst us. They're already,
right.
You know, I personally feel they're already here. And,
yes.
And secondly, recognizing the fact that one of the reasons that so many of us have this hollow, kind of lonely feeling, this void within, is because we haven't reconnected with our families.
Our
and, family. You know, this is like the ultimate. In fact, we made a decision last weekend or the weekend before that we were no longer going to call them extraterrestrials because we just
right.
felt that that was so yes. cold and so mechanical.
Right.
And
yes.
we decided to call them off-worlders.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I kind of like that.
Right.
I think they like it too.
Yes, I'm sure. And we've made that same decision. We call them our galactic family now.
Yeah.
Anytime we use the word extraterrestrials, we'll sometimes refer back to it because it's the word most commonly used and understood by most people. But we certainly don't like that word. We've evolved from that word too. And we like galactic families really feels good.
I know. Same to me. Well, now tell me, Shirlene,
mm-hmm.
what types of juicy messages have you received about the unfolding of the Earth right now into the Golden Age?
On one experience I was taken on, I was told that they were re-engineering our genetic structure. And I thought, oh, wow, that sounds very deep, very profound, and having to think about that. But I do believe they are assisting us with our genetics, with our expansion of our consciousness, of our mind, so that we can be prepared for when we meet them, for when that grand day occurs that we do get to meet them. And I do believe that they, you mentioned what is going on with planet Earth. There's so much technology now, as my sister, I believe, mentioned earlier, that they could assist us with, and they want to. Because it's just so the ideal that anybody would want to hold that back, cleaning up our air and our water and pollution and remedies for health and disease and illness and all of those things. It's unimaginable to me that any group would want to withhold that type of thing from the people of the planet Earth. And so I think they're just waiting. They're waiting for us to collectively get to that place. And I believe that we have, are more so getting to that place where we're going to be ready or are ready to meet them. I don't think we're all going to be on the same page anyway. They understand that we are different and we're at various levels of growth. And so I don't think they have to wait on the whole population to get on the same page because I don't think that may be impossible. But
yeah.
enough of us get on the same page, I think they'll be ready to help us in our endeavors.
AKA the ground crew. And that's why there is so much, I hate to use the word responsibility, but there is an onus on our backs. I mean, we really, all of us that are the ground crew, we really have a responsibility to continue every day to be searching and seeking out what can we do to raise our vibration, whatever that is, and what can we do to, you know, strip any darkness out of our sphere, because whatever we do, we're affecting up to millions of people just with that single move. Just that single move is affecting.
If we could also, that is so accurate. And if we could remember, we're all one.
Yes.
I remember when I used to drive in traffic and mad honking at people, maybe saying a few words, choice words, and I had to stop that because I had to think, oh, we are one. I'm one with that person. So now I say a blessing to him, and if he cuts in front of me or honks his horn or something, I just send him a blessing and hope he has a wonderful day because he's part of who I am. We are all one. We're all connected. So if we treat each other with consideration and kindness and respect, then we would want to be treated with. These ideas are so, they're so easy. Just treat everyone like you want to be treated. And we are our brother's keeper. These are the type of things that if we could just put them into action, that will raise our vibration. Loving everyone, not judging, and trying to manipulate, control, and manage everything, and just let them go in love.
Yeah, and I also think making sure that not to confuse being one with being passive about who you are. I mean, you yourself are unique, and you are a gift to the world because there is no one like you. You bring something special to the table. I think this is something that's really been lost in the whole oneness, unity, consciousness thing. And I'm always trying to kind of remind people, hey, you know, you're really special, and whatever you bring to the table, you know, master it, be good at it, stand up and stand in your authority about it, you know, and this is what makes the difference. This is how quickly, if the more of us do this, we will be that much quicker through this ascension process. We will be the, whatever, the first waivers, however you want to describe it.
Yes, we can be an individual yet be one.
Right.
That sounds like a paradox, but it's still true.
Right. Well, so how do you feel that the galactics are perceiving us right at this moment with those changes going on in our genetic makeup?
I think they are witnessing change because we're witnessing it ourselves. It's inevitable. Yeah. Change is occurring, as you mentioned earlier. We're seeing so much now going on. It's just, our heads are spinning with all the changes that are going on with our planet, our environment, our Earth. It's just been, and I think they're seeing that, they're perceiving it. I think they're understanding that we are readying ourselves. I think they want to help us as much as they can, without too much interference in our free will. Our free choice, because they know that we have that free choice and we can go any direction we choose to, but they want to assist yet not interfere and overlap our will. So I think we're just heading in a wonderful direction. I'm just encouraged almost every day. I just, as my sister said, it's just such an exciting time to be alive.
It's
a wonderful time, and they are ready to meet us. They're ready to celebrate. They're ready to help us evolve, help us ascend, mother ascending, and we get to go along with that ascension too if we do work on raising our vibration, and so they want to help us in every step of the way.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think one of the things that we need to just be really cautious about is the higher our vibration is, and the more that we come from our hearts when we're reaching out to the galactics, the purer and the more pristine the connection we make with the higher light beings.
Yes.
And that's the key, is working with heart contact and making sure that when you're doing contact that it's being done properly, not through paranoia or, you know, if you come from that perspective, you may draw in such nice beings.
I did that. I talk about that in the book because on a couple occasions, based on my vibration for that particular day or what I was experiencing, I drew in negative entities. I had two or three experiences with negative entities. So I had my round with them, and I was it was just quite an experience as well. But I learned now how to differentiate a day. If I'm frustrated, yes, I would draw in something negative, go to bed and draw in the negative entities. I had a wonderful, uplifting day and stayed positive and kept my vibration up. The higher entities, the benevolent entities is who I would attract.
Thank you for that, because I didn't even know that. You know, I haven't even had a chance to read your book, which I'm very interested in it. Well, hey, do me a favor. We're getting towards the top of the hour, but tell everybody about your the lyrics that you wrote for the Galactic Hymn of Earth's Emergence, Our World's Anthem. I really found the lyrics to just be so, oh my gosh, they were so special.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I went on an experience in the galaxy that one night, and I was taken in a box-like structure, and I was floating, free-floating throughout the galaxy, and I was hearing these words, or I'm sorry, tuned to a song called that we recognize as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And it was felt like I was in an elevator type box, as you know, the old fashioned elevators with the music. And so once I was brought back to my body, to my bed, I should say, I continued to hear the song come back in small decimals, just really quiet in the background. And finally it got louder and louder. And I was fully awoke now, and I looked at my radio, and I thought, oh, I just left my radio on all night, and that must be it. But I didn't. The radio was not on. So I thought, why were they exposing me to this song, which I had no reference for, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I had no interest in the song, and I couldn't understand that. So my sister and I, we started having numerous coincidences around that song. We'd go to an exhibit, and someone was, you know, performing a song, or I should say a function. I think Sweet Honey and the Rock was performing the song. Then we went to an exhibit, and we saw the song.
display. It was Sojourner's version of the song. So we were just, the song was always popping up around us. I won't go into quite a lot of detail because, as you said, you only had a few minutes. We have a few minutes. But what happened was my sister and I were talking one day about the song, and she said, I believe what we need to do is write our own version of the song, of your experiences, to that tune, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I thought, oh, that's crazy. We're no songwriters. We couldn't possibly write a song. I thought maybe we could hire a professional songwriter. And she said, nope, this is our job. No one can do this. We have to do it. She was just so confident that we could write this song. So she grabbed a piece of paper and a pen and started writing. And I thought, well, okay, I guess I could do the same. So she gave me a piece of paper. And I was at her house, and she gave me some paper and pen. So we were just profound at what came out. She wrote three verses, and I wrote three verses, and it just amazed us because we've never done anything like that. But we believe the Galactics were channeling these words to us, and they know the history of that song. That song represents a revolutionary time in our history. For example, the Civil War, slaves march off to battle, singing that song. Sojourner Truth, again, wrote a version of the song. It has a rich history. I think John Brown's body was
version was abolitionist about the abolitionist. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm getting goosebumps because I just completed a 3-week mission where I was called, literally, bam, clarion call. You got to get on the road and do this. And one of the things I realized after it was completed was it was all about the Civil War, the Revolution.
Hello?
It was all about sovereignty. It was all about taking back the land. It was all, I mean, it was just incredible. You know, it was about the American Indians, the roots, and how that relates to the Lemurians. And so you're right on the money, because they're really, I think they're trying to send us constant messages about, you know, hey, remember what it's like to be free, because we haven't been free for so long. I think we've all forgotten. I mean, even our sense of freedom now is nothing, you know, compared to what it is now. So anyway, well, listen, I really appreciate you two coming online with me. And please, folks, do me a favor and check out their book. It's called From the Motherland to the Mothership. And you can also drop onto their website at ufotwins.com. And they will be more than happy to assist you. It looks like, Charlene, you mentioned that you even assist in traumatic abduction experiences.
Yes, I'd love to help. Yes, that I have counseled before, and I enjoy that. I also want to mention, if anyone would like to hear the song, and it's 5 minutes, it's a YouTube video, and they would just need to go to YouTube and put in the title, Galactic Hymn of Earth's Emergence. Or they could put in the Disclosure song. They'll see our picture, twin picture pop up. And we appreciate if anyone would like to hear it. We're very proud of it. And yes, I love to talk to people about their experiences. They can write us through the ufotwins.com website. There's an area where they can send their information or their own experience and share that with others. So we are trying to do our part in this whole wonderful phenomenon.
And clearly you are. And I just wanted to let you know that we're going to probably post your YouTube video on our BBS landing page. Hopefully my girlfriend can handle that, because she handles all the techie stuff for me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so we'll put it up
there. And thank you for the work you're doing. It's phenomenal. Yeah. We're so glad to have met you and learned of you and your work as
thank
a light
you.
Worker. And thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because that's truly what keeps us all going.
Yes,
I agree.
Is the acknowledgement, the thanks, the occasional donation, and seriously, you know, we're doing it for Mother, Father, God, and Prime Creator, ultimately. So anyway,
exactly.
With that said, I want to thank you. Folks, please do your part. Support them. Go to ufotwins.com, and we will see you next week, same time, same place, Tuesday at 4 p.m., and we'll talk to you then. Thanks, Charlene and Earlene.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. We've enjoyed it.